Okay, let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're continuing a little series here on the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're living in a day and age when the Holy Spirit is blasphemed. Works attributed to the Holy Spirit, which are not the works of the Holy Spirit. So I think the question should arise is, well, then what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Amen. If we have some suspicions about what it isn't, then we should know biblically what it is. And last time we got together, we spoke of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we spoke of the fact that Christianity is supernatural. Everything about it is supernatural. Our Lord is supernatural. The church is supernatural. The Spirit is supernatural. There's much going on in this world that is the work of the Lord. And I'm so glad that the Lord has brought this up this morning as the message, because we're covering in our Sunday school class something that we'd just as soon not cover. It's never been my purpose to give equal time to the devil or any time at all. But sometimes it's necessary to hone our spiritual discernment that we have to do that. And if we get involved in beholding the works of the devil and studying the works of the devil, it can sometimes defocus our attention and just almost get us in a fit of spiritual depression. Because it looks like he's having his way, but he's not. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The Lord is orchestrating everything that happens in human history. He is in complete control, and he always has been. And we as Christians should never be deceived by that. The devil is on a short leash. Now, sometimes the Lord lengthens the leash a bit, but he's on a short leash and he's under control. He can't do anything except what the Lord would allow him to do. And the Lord is doing it all for us. He has chosen us to bring glory unto himself. Well, what about the ministry of the Spirit then? We read part of the passage that we're going to read this morning last time. Let's read it again and add something to it. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Drop down to verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, by the way, that should be a capital S, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into the truth. Lord, that you'd illuminate our minds, illuminate your word. Lord, that we might understand it and lift up our hearts. Lord, teach us how to worship in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, going back to verse number 1, we find that the Lord has sent out disciples and done many things. And now, we find in verse number 1 of chapter 10 that he appoints 70 others also. And he sends them out. And he tells them some specific things. Verse number 2, he says unto them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." That's just as true today as when he spoke it 2,000 years ago. I know we're living in the Laodicean age when everybody's lukewarm. Everybody wants a little religion, but not so much that it detracts from our lust for material things. But you know, there's still a few Philadelphians left among us that want to see the Word of God preached throughout all the world. And he still has an open door before those that would go through it. No man can shut it. I know it's the age of Laodicea. I know that the enemy is coming in like a horde against us. But if you're a Laodicean Christian, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to get the gospel out to your fellow man, it can still be done. There are still those that would go to the mission field. I believe there are still those that would send them. And by the way, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity soon enough. I spoke with Brother Lyne last night. They're going to be out the first part of June. Mark it on your calendars. Put your vacation someplace else. We're going to have a very special time in the history of this church in which we are actually going to get to ordain and send forth a missionary. One that has this congregation as his home. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. And it's going to take every one of us working together, sending forth this laborer into the harvest. In verse number 3, he says, "Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Whole lot of wolves, not too many lambs. Narrow is the gate, and straight is the way. We talked about the wolves this morning in our Sunday school class. I'll be so glad when we're done talking about the church at Sardis and we can move on to Philadelphia. Man, that's going to be great. Sometimes it's almost disheartening when we look around as Christians and it seems like the enemy is everywhere. They parade themselves about, speaking great swelling words, blaspheming the name of our God. And we look around and we start to think, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, not these usurpers, not the armies of the aliens, and we want to go out and take it over. Well, dominion theology is not of God. When it's time to take it over, he'll let us know. He'll put the armies of the aliens to flight. We don't have to worry about that. But right now, he's given us a very special part. He has actually allowed us to take the gospel, the most precious commodity that this world has ever known, and to send it forth into the world. And by the power of the gospel, he's calling forth children unto himself. He could have sent an angel to do it. An angel certainly would have been more capable. But what does an angel know about being saved? The scripture says that they earnestly look into the things of salvation. They're curious about it. The very God that made them. The very God around whose throne they stand and sing. The very God whom they serve day and night. saved those little cockroaches down on the earth that rebelled against him. And he loved them so much that he became one of them. They don't understand what salvation is like, but man, if you're saved, you certainly should want to see your fellow man saved. You need to understand that we're going forth as lambs among wolves. And you know, in verse number 4, this Laodicean age needs to hear this. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. You don't need a denomination to send you out. You don't need to be bankrolled to the hilt. You don't need to have an extra pair of shoes. The Lord will bring all those things. He knows exactly what we need. You know, the Philadelphian church started the idea of faith missions. Oh, it's a wonderful idea. J. Hudson Taylor, China Inland Missions. He required that all that would come to be co-laborers with him needed to go out into the churches and present what they wanted to do and then let the Holy Spirit put on their hearts to support them financially and send them out to the field. Faith promise. We use the same plan in this church today. It's still the right plan. It's still the right way to do it. Missionaries need to count on the Lord to take care of them, not on a denomination, not on some great religious leader, but on the Spirit of the Lord. Still works. Every place it's tried, still works. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to get too far away from that. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to restrain evil in the earth. Not to make people bark like dogs, not to make them cackle like chickens, not to unhinge their tongues on both ends so that they babble some unintelligible gibberish and attribute it to the Spirit of God. That's not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to energize missionaries and then restrain those that would attempt to overcome them. Now, as I told the Sunday school class just a few moments ago, you know, when you start studying polemics, which is the arguments against all of the things that the Bible says that are wrong, you can almost get depressed because it looks like their side is winning. No, their side is not winning, regardless what it might look like. Because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to restrain evil in the earth. Everything is working exactly according to the plan of God. I liked what one of the fellows said that I attended some time back. I'd oftentimes ask him, "How's it going?" And he'd answer, "Oh, just like it should." You won't find a young man that'll ever give you that answer. But you know, after you get some years, then you start to understand. It's going just like it should. It's going exactly like it should. Everything is exactly on schedule. Not to worry. God is in control. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to restrain evil. And He does it magnificently. Let's consider the last part of what we just read in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 17, before we move on. Well, the Lord has sent them out. He's told them, don't count on any man. You don't need a bank account. You don't need two pairs of shoes. You just need the message of the gospel. And so they go. And in verse number 17, here they come back. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Wow. Now that was a new thing to them. But it wasn't a new thing to Jesus. They thought that was absolutely astounding. At the time that our Lord walked the earth, there was a huge upsurge in demonic activity. It was everywhere, and you read about it in the Gospels. This one possessed with a devil. That one possessed with a devil. The demoniac of Gadara. On and on it goes. And so the 70 are really impressed by this. We did what you told us to do, Lord. We went out there and we went into every city where you're going to come. We gave them the message. If they blew us off, we shook the dust off and went on to the next city. If they invited us in, we stayed. We saw your mighty power, and none of it was of man. And it was supernatural, too, because you yourself didn't come here yet. Not like Mary and Martha that said, Lord, you know, if you'd have been here, you could have kept our brother from dying. They thought that he had to be physically present. No, he doesn't. The Spirit of God is everywhere. Wow. They learned some things. And look what Jesus says in verse number 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Oh, when we get into the book of Revelation, we don't have time to pursue it now. But Jesus saw the consummation of this age. Satan cast out. And look at verse number 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I know some Christians would say, well, yeah, but what about those characters at Smyrna? Christians to the lions. What about those brethren in some of these other countries where they're persecuted and put to death just for naming the name of Christ? Doesn't look to me like that's true. Well, that's because you're a little short-sighted. That's because you're a little short-sighted. You didn't read the last chapter, did you? We won. Nothing has hurt them. What's the worst that the devil can do to any one of us that's a child of the Lord? Let us go home early? Whoopee! They didn't love their lives so much that they didn't understand this. Man, every time we go out and preach the gospel, we're treading on the power of the enemy. We're sacking and pillaging his kingdom. I like that idea. Put his kingdom to sack. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm sure while Job was going through all of his trials, he probably thought that the power of the enemy had come up against him and he didn't quite know what to make of it. Poor Job. He didn't have the advantage that we have. He didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, but we do. What a wonderful thing. Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The world doesn't know anything about this. You know, most people have enough spiritual perception, even lost people, to say, well, I can't lick them, so I guess I'll join them. And then there are others that are Satan's willing lieutenants, the leaders of this order around us that John calls the cosmos. What a wonderful thing. The professors in the Ivy League university schools of religion know nothing about this. Sad to say, professors in most Bible colleges anymore know nothing about this. And yet the smallest, meanest of Christians, the poorest, can understand things that the doctors and philosophers of this world cannot understand. He's revealed these things unto babes. That's really something. And he did it all by his Spirit. So the devil isn't getting away with anything. Time goes on because the Lord is still calling out children. And when the family's complete, then you're going to see a huge upheaval in human history. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll get right down to it. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll begin in verse number 1. The Holy Spirit, what is His ministry? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, not the world, brethren, Christians, those that have been born again. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he should be capitalized, who now letteth will let, until he should be capitalized, be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, probably shouldn't be capitalized, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Remember I said a moment ago, when the family is all called in, big things are fixing to happen. Why aren't they happening today? Do you think that if Satan had his way, we'd not all be consumed in an instant? I know there are those that run around with their chests puffed out, ordering the devil to do this and ordering the devil to do that and ordering him to go back to hell. Well, I got news for you. He's never been there. And I've got more news for you. He's never going there. He's going straight into the lake of fire. Devil's never been in hell. He's left a slimy trail right up to the very throne of God where he accuses you and me day and night. But praise be unto our Lord that he's sitting there as our great high priest, interceding for us. Father, I paid for that. Oh, how wonderful is that? He's before the throne of God 24 hours a day accusing you and I and all the believers in the world. At the same time that his lieutenants are going to and fro on the earth, urging and tempting Christians to do the very things that he's accusing us of before the throne of God. I think they call that duplicity, don't they? Satan is a vastly powerful enemy. But I suppose that same crowd that thinks that God is a cosmic bellhop probably figures they can order him around too. If our Lord did not protect us, he would consume us in a moment. He would have destroyed this world long ago. He's tried many, many times. He would have destroyed all humanity. But he can't. take great pleasure in running the thought through my mind, how frustrating it must be to be the devil. I just hate it when I try to work on my car and it resists. I know how he must feel. He's given it his best shot, but it won't work because the Holy Spirit won't let it work because it's not for now. Time will come, but not for now. Now, Paul writes what he writes here in 2 Thessalonians for us. This is for our consumption. This is something that the world cannot understand. But it's something that you and I as believers ought to understand so that we won't be deceived. Now, the backdrop of this, Paul writes 1 Thessalonians. Somebody goes and lies to the churches of Thessalonica and tells them, you know, the rapture's already over and you guys were left behind. And you thought Left Behind was a movie that just came out. No! They'd gone and lied to these people and told them that the rapture was already past. And so therefore it wasn't even true to begin with. And Paul wanted to straighten that out. You know, there's a lot of people that feel that way today. Sad to say, some of them are Christians that think, you know, God's not paying much attention to what goes on this old earth anymore. He's not much interested in us, so I guess we better just pull the wagons in a circle, hope for the best, until we get to go home. Forget about missions. That was 300 years ago. Forget about telling our neighbors that Jesus loves them. Forget about us preaching the gospel as a church. God doesn't care anything about that stuff anymore. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The same Holy Spirit that stopped Satan from absorbing these Thessalonians in his deceitful lies is working today, too, if Christians will pay attention. He can't put a finger on us. And if God does allow him to put a finger on us, we end up getting the glory out of it. Let's consider what we've read just a little closer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus. In other words, he's still coming. He hasn't already come. He's still coming. And by our gathering together unto him, you're believers. I count you as believers. I'm the Apostle Paul. Get it? In other words, if you're not home, the rapture hadn't happened yet. So why am I telling you this? Verse 2, that you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled. Our God is the God of peace. He doesn't want us chewing our fingernails short and counting rosary beads because we think he's forgotten about us. So many Christians are so depressed and so fidgety. Driven from pillar to post by this doctrine and that doctrine, get involved in this or get involved in that, and it isn't there, and it isn't the other place. Maybe God has deserted us. Oh, you know, you could always go back to his word. You could always go back to his word. That always works. That's why Satan hates it so much. Verse 2, that you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit. The translator's got it right that time. It's a little S. Nor by word. What some Yahoo is saying. Nor by letter as from us. Oh yes, they had forged letters even in those days. That the day of Christ is at hand. Would that people would read this. How sad. People are still falling for this junk even today after 2,000 years. Along comes this demon, William Miller, and starts to tell him, you know, Jesus is coming on such and such a day. gathers himself together a whole congregation. Jesus doesn't come. They still call it the great disappointment, those Seventh-day Adventists. I guess they didn't get disappointed enough. They still kept following him. What is wrong with our heads? I just picked him out of a whole bunch that I could have named. You suppose those poor people were shaken in mind when he didn't come? You suppose they were troubled? Why did our Lord put this in the Bible? Because he doesn't want us to be one of them. We ought to have the peace that passes understanding, not a great disappointment. Look at verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Satan uses men. The tares are the children of the devil. And he certainly has a lot of means. There's going to be a falling away first, a great apostasy. And out of that apostasy, the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist. He's waiting in the wings. Wouldn't be surprised if he makes the evening news day after tomorrow. Why wait day after tomorrow? It could be tomorrow. He could already be speaking for all I know, just not generally recognized as who he is. The time's right. This is the end of the age. Am I going to set a date? No, because I don't want you to have a great disappointment. All of the fools that have tried that have been disappointed. But I'll tell you one thing, he's coming. He's coming. But he's not coming before there's a great apostasy. As hard a work as it is, and as depressing as it is, we're working up to that in our Sunday school class. That's why we kind of slowed down with the Kingdom of Heaven parables as we're going through the book of Matthew. Because it talks about the days in which we live. The situation is ripe. It's near, even at the door. Verse number 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Look at that word, opposeth. What's Satan's work? What's Satan's man's work? To oppose God. What is he doing with reference to himself? He's exalting himself above God. What else is he doing? Sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? Should I mention the Sunday school class one more time? I'd like to see about this many people in the Sunday school class. How do you expect to learn anything about the Bible if you don't come to Sunday school? I have 20 minutes to try to preach to people that are unsaved and try to work in something for us that are saved. But in Sunday school, I got 45 minutes to talk about this book. Be there. We talked about the fact that in Ezekiel's day, all those years ago, God took Ezekiel into the temple and he showed him a vision of the future. Right in the north gate of the temple, there was an abomination of desolation set up. A foretaste of how this age is going to end. In the very temple of God! Verse number 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth. They could have done a better job with this. He that withholdeth. That he, remember I was talking about capitalization and stuff? It's not a little H-E, it's a big H-E, the Holy Spirit. That he might be revealed in his time. Who? The devil. When the Holy Spirit decides that it's time for him to be revealed. Verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This was written a couple thousand years ago. I tried to tell our Sunday school class, you know, evil didn't just pop into the world the day we were born or the day before. This witch's brew has been steeping for 2,000 years. The mystery of iniquity was working in Paul's day. But it goes on to say in verse 7, only he, should be capitalized, who now letteth, Elizabethan English, letteth, means to withhold, or to stop from happening, or to stand like a stone wall. Only who that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, he. When the time comes, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who have always been in agreement about everything that is or ever shall be, the signal will be given. Today's the day. For the world, that's going to be a big oops. And then verse number 8. And then, after the Holy Spirit ceases to restrain evil, that doesn't mean now that Satan is just let to do whatever he wants. It just means that his leash is lengthened a little bit. He's given a little bit more permission to do some things that he couldn't do before, but he's still under control. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And by the way, whose fault was that? Doesn't the scripture say, whosoever will may come? It doesn't say, whosoever won't. And I know we can just get bogged down and rehash the theological battles of the last 1,000 years, talking about predestination and election. I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to bore you. But suffice it to say that God said, whosoever will may come. Not whosoever won't, but whosoever will. He also told us, broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads into destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. I don't care what Calvin said. They determined by their own responsibility before God that that's what they wanted. It's a shocking thing. But if you could descend into hell right now with the gospel of Jesus Christ and go about preaching it and interviewing everybody, you would not find one character that's in that place that would change his mind. Not one. They hate God. And they'd rather be in that place of torment than to be where he is. They made their choice. Oh, Pastor, that's shocking. If they had a chance, wouldn't they want to come out? You remember the story of Lazarus and Dives? The rich man? Remember the story Jesus told about that? Name me one time that that rich man ever looked and said, you know, I've changed my mind, I'd like to get out of here. No. Just give me a drop of cool water. Make my punishment a little less. But I don't want to be where you are, because God's there. You know, the devil doesn't really have a very hard job to do with us fallen human beings. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 that the natural mind is the enemy of God. It hates God. And you and I hate to think that there was a time in our lives when we hated God. And we even less like to think that our old nature, which is nailed to the cross, still hates God. But it's the truth. Satan has no trouble picking up followers because he deifies man. The old lie of Satan in the Garden of Eden, ye shall be as gods. Works every time. Well, it didn't work this time. And if you're saved, it didn't work for you. But that's because of the Lord, who made the way of escape. Wow. Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth. There's some responsibility here. They have the same chance that everybody else has. Look at verse number 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe not a lie, but the lie. I really appreciated that Left Behind movie in the books. But you know, there's a great theological inaccuracy there. Most of you are shaking your heads. You know what I'm talking about. There's no second chance. Verse number 12, that they all might be damned. Who? Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness? Sad fact of life. Well, there's a reason not to send out missionaries. Man, if you consider what we're spending on missionaries, we could buy a brand new car. Let them all go to hell. No, God's determined by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And He's entrusted to us the glorious gospel message. And just because it's the Laodicean age doesn't mean we're not supposed to go out and preach it. Now, if they don't want to receive it, that's their responsibility. Our responsibility ends right there. When they say, take it someplace else, well, take it someplace else. Take their advice, because there's somebody down the street that'll want to hear it. And our Lord's entrusted us to take them the message. Somebody once said something that has a ring of truth to it. Why should anybody in this old world hear the gospel twice before everybody's heard it once? Well, that's kind of man-centered and man-thinking. God knows those that are His, and He's going to make sure that they get the message, whether we do it or not. Kind of harkens back to the book of Esther, doesn't it? Her uncle says, you need to go in and talk to the king about this. And by the way, if you don't go, God's going to send somebody else because He's going to save the Jews. But it's not going to be good for you because you had a chance to do something. She went. Shouldn't you? Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do want to thank You for Your word. Lord, it's comforting to know, with all the things going on around us, all the deceit and all the lies, that they're not getting away with anything, that You're still in control, that we need not fear, we need not worry. And Lord, it's only when we're weak that You make us strong. It's not the great denominations that are sending out missionaries. It's the little churches of true believers that gather themselves together, that sacrificially give to send missionaries to the field. Help us to understand that. It's not by power, and it's not by might, but it's always been by Your Spirit. Dear Lord, now lift up our hearts to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.